We've just published the book, The Adventures of Lola Badiola. It's the perfect complement for this podcast. It includes complete transcripts, explanations, and quizzes. So buy it now on Amazon. Hello and welcome back to The Adventures of Lola Badiola. In the last episode, Park was able to hack the systems of TechSpania and turn off the electricity in the headquarters. Let's find out what Lola's next move is and how Mario Ruiz de Velasco reacts. Here we go.
The Adventures of Lola Badiola, Chapter 57, The Offer. Ruiz de Velasco stood up from his chair, his face incandescent with rage.
Whatever game you're playing, stop it right now.
Lola didn't flinch. It was her turn to show a poker face in the heat of the moment. Take a seat, Mr. Ruiz de Velasco, and let me explain something to you. Ruiz de Velasco looked down at his two lawyers.
Do something, you overpaid sons of bitches!
The two lawyers had no idea what Ruiz de Velasco expected them to do, so they decided to play it safe and do nothing.
Sit down, Mr. Ruiz de Velasco, repeated Lola. We are here to help you.
Lola took the next ace from her sleeve. She pointed at Park, who was quietly tapping away on the laptop, oblivious to the commotion around him.
My assistant has been scanning your digital infrastructure. It appears you have a weakness in the electrical system of your headquarters. We have been able to access the automatic transfer switch and cut off all your power.
Ruiz de Velasco's eyes almost popped out of his head.
You've hacked us? This is an outrage. Desist from this activity immediately.
The CEO's lawyers suddenly found their voices. They started quoting all the laws that Lola was breaking by her actions, including the fines that would be imposed on her and the time she could spend in prison. At this point, Gonzalo stepped in to respond to each of their claims, giving reasons why they were irrelevant in the current situation, although in truth he couldn't disagree with them. As the noise and commotion in the room rose to a crescendo, Cayetano took the opportunity to verbally insult Lola, accusing her of lying, cheating, and stealing. This brought Diego to Lola's defense. He'd been waiting for an opportunity to confront Cayetano, the traitor, and he didn't hold back. It became impossible to hear anything with the noise of the insults being thrown around the room. Once again, it was the wise old man acting as JJ's advisor who brought order back to the proceedings. In his deep and booming voice, he managed to recapture the attention of the room.
Hold on. Hold on.
The combatants stopped screaming at each other and looked at the old man.
Miss Badiola has something to say. The sooner we hear it, the sooner we can fix the problem.
Lola waited for the testosterone in the room to subside and for everyone to settle back down into their chairs. Then she started her speech.
Yes, we have hacked you, she said in a calm and confident voice. We've hacked you to protect you. You may say it is an outrage. Your lawyers might accuse me of criminal activity. But isn't it better that we hack you before someone else does? Isn't it better that we discover your weaknesses before a malicious intruder does? Last month, your share price dropped 20% following a breach of your systems. We know who was responsible for this attack. We know how they did it, and we know how to ensure it never happens again. We also know how to prevent them from exploiting other network vulnerabilities, like the one in your electrical systems. That is why you need our technology, Mr. Ruiz de Velasco.
The CEO squirmed in his chair. His left eye twitched, and he drummed his fingers on the surface of the Maplewood conference table.
There is something that you don't seem to understand, Ms. Badiola.
His voice was trembling with suppressed rage.
I am in the process of buying your technology. Mr. Thompson and I have already come to an agreement. Now stop playing games. turn the electricity back on, and get out of my office."
JJ's advisor leaned forward to clarify a legal point.
"Technically, we haven't reached an agreement until everyone has signed the contract and it has been ratified by the board of directors."
He looked across at Lola with a twinkle in his eye. It was clear that he wanted her to keep going. "As I said before, this agreement dramatically undervalues J-Block," continued Lola. "With Techspania as a client, the value of our company rises dramatically. It is a proof of concept, a signal to the market that our technology not only functions, but is also best in class." Ruiz de Velasco snorted at the absurdity of her argument.
"Techspania is not, nor ever will be, a client of yours, and J-Block is worthless without us."
JJ sat quietly listening to the confrontation around him. Less than half an hour earlier, he had been on the verge of selling his company for €6 a share to Techspania. When Lola and Diego burst into the meeting room, he was as confused as he was intrigued. He knew that neither of them wanted him to sell the company, but he didn't realize what lengths they would go to in order to disrupt the process. He decided to remain silent. He could see that Lola was on a roll. He wanted to find out what else she might have up her sleeve, and she didn't disappoint him. "Well, Mr. Ruiz de Velasco," she said, shaking her head slowly, "that is a pity for both Techspania and J-Block." Then she stood up and walked out of the conference room. There was a stunned silence. Gonzalo packed up his notes and followed her. Diego grabbed hold of Park and they did the same. The conference room was left in exactly the same state as it was just half an hour earlier. 5 members of the Techspania team facing 2 members of the J-Block team. Mario Ruiz de Velasco leaned over Luis Brugna and in a voice filled with bitterness and frustration said, "Bring them back here."
So, Lola and her team have put themselves in a very strong bargaining position. Let's go through some of the language points of this chapter to see exactly how they did it. We'll start off with the advanced grammar point in this sentence.
"Hold on. Hold on."
The combatants stopped screaming at each other and looked at the old man.
"Miss Badiola has something to say. The sooner we hear it, the sooner we can fix the problem."
The sooner, the sooner. This is an example of a double comparative. Double comparatives are phrases commonly used in English to express proportionate change in 2 variables. When one thing changes, it causes something else to change. If we do more of this, then more of that will happen. It's a very common and useful grammar point in business English with a consistent structure. The plus first comparative, followed by the plus second comparative. It's easier to see with a few examples. So we might say, "The more I worry, the less I sleep." It can be used with adjectives. "The harder I work, the richer I become." It can be used with adverbs. "The more carefully you plan, the better the result will be." And it can be used with nouns. "The more ideas you have, the more projects you will develop." And it can also be used in a short form. For example, "What price are you interested in?" "The cheaper, the better." You will hear native English speakers use this grammatical structure very frequently in business discussions, particularly when they are giving advice or making recommendations, which is exactly what the wise old man in the meeting is doing. The sooner we can hear what Lola has to say, the quicker we can fix the problem. Okay, let's move on to some vocabulary. Have a listen to this sentence again.
Ruiz de Velasco stood up from his chair, his face incandescent with rage.
Whatever game you're playing, stop it right now.
Lola didn't flinch. It was her turn to show a poker face in the heat of the moment.
To flinch is to make a sudden small movement because of pain or fear of possible pain. It's often used to describe a person when they're showing a moment of weakness or fright. People flinch at different things. Hypodermic needles, spiders, an unexpected telephone call from the CEO. These are the kind of things that cause people to flinch. And if you can withstand a nasty surprise without showing any emotion or reaction, you may well hear someone say, "Wow, they didn't even flinch." Okay, here's some more advanced vocabulary.
The CEO squirmed in his chair. His left eye twitched, and he drummed his fingers on the surface of the Maplewood conference table.
To squirm. That's a lovely word to say. Go on, say that out loud. To squirm. This is to twist your body because of psychological or physical discomfort. So, for example, you might squirm in your seat when your manager is giving you negative feedback in front of other people. It makes you embarrassed. It makes you feel self-conscious. You're uncomfortable. You're squirming in your seat. Okay, another great word is to twitch. Go on, say that one out loud as well. To twitch. Well, twitching is when you make sudden, brief, unintentional movements. So your eye muscles might start to twitch when you're extremely tired. Or in the case of Mario Ruiz de Velasco, because he's extremely angry. To drum your fingers. That is to rapidly tap one's fingertips on a surface, such as a table. Now, drumming your fingers can indicate your frustration. For example, you might be frustrated that another person is speaking too long, or you want to interrupt, or you want to just move on to the next thing. It's a very passive-aggressive action, because you're not actually saying how you feel, but you are letting the whole world know, including the person speaking, that you are impatient for this to end. The louder the noise and the faster the drumming, the greater the tension transmitted to a person speaking. And if you have nails, it's even more effective. It is most likely a manifestation of the adrenaline that is running through your body when you wish to act, but you are unable to. Okay, now let's move on to some common expressions. Here's the first one.
JJ's advisor leaned forward to clarify a legal point. Technically, we haven't reached an agreement until everyone has signed the contract and it has been ratified by the board of directors. He looked across at Lola with a twinkle in his eye. It was clear that he wanted her to keep going.
To twinkle is to emit or reflect light in a flickering manner. It's what stars do on a dark, cloudless night. And in fact, one of the first songs that you learn as a child in an English primary school is "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are." So, if there's a twinkle in your eye, it means there's a little sparkle. There's something flickering. It's a facial expression that denotes happiness, amusement, or the knowledge of a secret. Here are two more expressions.
As I said before, this agreement dramatically undervalues J-Block, continued Lola. With Techspania as a client, the value of our company rises dramatically. It is a proof of concept,
a signal to the market that our technology not only functions, but is also best in class.
Let's start with the term proof of concept. So imagine spending a considerable amount of money and time on finding and then buying a new house, only to find out that there aren't enough bedrooms in the house for your entire family. This wouldn't happen because you would definitely visit the house, probably several times, and you would imagine yourself living there. You'd sit down on the sofa, you'd pretend to be cooking in the kitchen, you'd look inside all the cupboards, etc., etc. And you'd end up discussing this experience with your family and ensuring that the house has enough bedrooms for your entire clan. Now, the same is true with business ventures. You shouldn't invest time and money in a new product or a new service unless you really understand what it is that you are buying and what you are buying actually fulfills your needs. Otherwise, you end up investing in something that doesn't work. And that's where a proof of concept, or POC, comes in. A proof of concept is a way of ensuring that an investment of your time and money in a new service, a new application, or a technological innovation is worthwhile. Whether an idea or technology can indeed achieve the desired outcome. If, for example, you are a technology company and you are developing an innovative solution for your client base, which requires a lot of time and investment, you may do the following as a proof of concept. First, you create a very basic version of your app and you release it to a small group of users to see if they find it useful. Secondly, if it is successful, you then develop a more complete version of this app. You invest more time, you invest more effort, more financial capital. If, on the other hand, at this stage it's not successful, you can modify the concept. You can upgrade the application and try again. Or you can scrap the project altogether. You can save yourself a lot of time and money by terminating the project at that moment. This is what is known as a technical proof of concept, a technical POC. Now, in the case of JBlock, they know that their technology works, but they need to prove to the market, to the potential customer base, that this is the case. So if TechSpania, one of the largest and best-known technology companies in Europe, is a client of JBlock's technology, then this is a clear signal to the rest of the market that the technology not only works, but is best in class. This is a marketing proof of concept. You got it? Okay, let's return to that other popular business expression, best in class. Three words, two hyphens. Best in class is defined as the superior product within a category. It does not necessarily mean that you have the best product overall. For example, a best in class product in a low priced category may be inferior to the best product on the market, which is significantly more expensive, has a different customer base, and therefore is not considered part of the same category. This is the key point. Best in class is a product that is considered superior to other competitors within the same category or segment. The best-in-class product offers the highest level of quality or utility in comparison with its peers. So, for example, what would you consider to be a best-in-class car? Well, first you have to segment the market into categories. Let's segment the market into small cars and luxury cars. According to What Car magazine, one of the most reputable magazines in the automobile industry, the best-in-class car in the small car category is the Honda Jazz. And the best-in-class car in the luxury category is the Range Rover. Is your product or service best-in-class? Okay, let's move on to some more expressions. Here they are.
He decided to remain silent. He could see that Lola was on a roll. He wanted to find out what else she might have up her sleeve. And she didn't disappoint him.
The phrase on a roll means that you are succeeding in whatever you are doing and that this success is likely to keep occurring in the future. I think we might have mentioned this expression before, but I'll go into a little bit more detail because it's really common in business English. Its origin is from a gambling game called craps, where one player throws two dice, and if they keep winning, they are said to be on a roll. And speaking about gambling, we've already referred to the idiom to have an ace up your sleeve, which has its origin in the game of poker. But it's not just an ace that you might have up your sleeve. It could be something else very useful. So in general, to have something up your sleeve means you have something in reserve, and it may be pulled out as and when it's needed. And the expression dates back to the Middle Ages, when it was the fashion to have these enormous sleeves on your garments. They were so big that you could have pockets sewn into them, and you could keep important personal items in those pockets. You could have something very useful, literally, up your sleeve. Nowadays, figuratively speaking, it's always good to have something up your sleeve in a meeting with a client, when you're pitching a project or a product, or you're trying to convince them to sign up to a proof of concept. On that note, we come to the end of today's session. We hope that you found it interesting and entertaining. We only have a couple of chapters left until we reach the conclusion of Book 1. If you would like to improve your business English in a more formal environment, you can join our online business English platform for live and interactive classes with me and Marina. Just click on the link to Club Grattan that you will find in the podcast description of your platform. And we hope that you can join us for the next and penultimate episode of The Adventures of Lola Badiola. Until then, just remember, the more you bring English into your life, the more confident you will feel, and the more fluently you will speak.